Well, we've already heard that it was an early morning for many. We've heard that at least one set of parents was awoken at 6 a.m. Did anyone beat that? Were any parents woken up before 6? The McCabe family wins the prize. All right. Was it Hayes? Hayes is like, oh, yeah. Okay, very nice. I appreciate that. And I know that it was in anticipation of being here today that you woke up that early. So another question for our kiddos. Who here received gifts this morning? Raise your hand. Oh, come on, raise your hand. If you received a gift, regardless of age, raise your hand. All right, very good. Got a lot of questions this morning to keep our attention going. Who here can tell me, this is a rhetorical question, so don't answer it, why we give gifts? Why do we have this tradition of giving and receiving gifts on Christmas morning? Just raise your hand if you know the answer to the question. All right? Pretty good. It's largely due to the Christmas story when the three wise men gave gifts to the baby Jesus, okay? In light of that, in response of that, the tradition was formed to give and receive gifts on Christmas morning because of the gifts they gave in praise of the Lord. So they gave gifts to the baby Jesus, but do you realize they were not the only ones who received a gift in the Christmas story? You may not know that, you may not have thought of that, but the baby Jesus and his family were not the only ones to receive a gift in the Christmas story. Do you know the other person who received a gift on that first Christmas or in the Christmas story? If not, wait. We will read the story and see what happens. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. From Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 15. Remember, beloved, these are the very written words of God. So like I said, three gifts have been given by the Magi to Jesus. There is another gift that was given, not to Jesus, but to someone else. See if you can figure out who it was. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, it took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. This is Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which Matthew tells us, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, just a little parenthetical remark. Remember, these prophecies were made hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. That fact alone is just stunning. Verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. You see, he was trying to figure out how old the child was. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose, it went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, this is from Hosea, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Indeed, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever, and may he add his blessing to it. You may be seated. Pray with me again, our gracious God and Father. We do thank you for this day, this wonderful day, this beautiful day. Father, we thank you that on this day, over 2,000 years ago, in the city of Bethlehem, was born our Savior, Christ the Lord. Father, we thank you that in Christ Jesus, you are with us and for us. And Father, we do pray that you would grow in us this morning love and appreciation, thanksgiving and gratitude for the incarnation of your beloved Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the wise men gave a gift to Jesus in the Christmas story, but Jesus was not the only one to receive a gift from the wise men. Who else was it that received a gift from the wise men? Shout it out. Come on now, who else received a gift? It was Herod. Herod received a gift from the wise men. What was the gift that Herod received? What did he receive? I mean, Herod was as delighted as anyone at that first Christmas story. Why? What gift did he receive? He received gift of the news of the birth of the Messiah. And he was overjoyed, okay? But not so that he could go and worship him. Why was Herod so glad he got the news? Okay, so that he could go and destroy the child. Like I said, I have lots of questions. Why would Herod be troubled, okay, at the news of the birth of Jesus? Why wouldn't he be hopeful and thankful, okay? Israel had been looking forward to his birth for hundreds of years. Why would it trouble Herod? Because Herod viewed this child's birth as a threat to his dynasty, right? What did Herod hope to do when he died? He hoped to pass on the kingship to his sons and then his sons' sons and so on and so forth. And so when he heard the news that the rightful king of Israel was born, he was overjoyed because he could stop it. He could kill the child. Another question. That being the case, why in the world did the Magi, why in the world did the wise men tell Herod about the birth of the child? Why did they do that? Why do you think? Well, they needed information. What kind of information did they need? Come on. That's not rhetorical. What information did they need? They needed to know where to go. Now, they knew a certain fact. What fact did they know based on the Old Testament? They knew to look for the birth of the Savior when this star arose. There's this amazing prophecy in Numbers 24:17 that reads, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near." The Old Testament says, "A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter." Now, a scepter is associated with royalty. "A scepter will rise out of Israel." The Magi knew that prophecy. They knew what it foretold. And so as soon as they saw that star, they made their way to the promised land. So they needed information. They knew of his birth, but they needed to know where. Okay, so they asked Herod. He asked the scribes, the wise men. They told him Bethlehem. And so off they went. Okay. Question. So what was it at the end of the day that put Jesus' life in jeopardy? What was it? What was the thing, what was the mechanism, what was the reason in the story that Jesus' life was in danger almost from the day of his birth? It was the star, right? So why in the world would God have put that star in the sky if that star was going to be the thing that potentially exposed Jesus to great danger? Why would you do that? Why would you send up a flare, as it were, to mark the birth of Jesus if that was going to be the mechanism that told Herod where it was? Have you ever thought about that? Why would the Lord do that? Why would he send up that flare and give Herod all the information he needed to know regarding where to hunt for Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? So this star that we love to hear about, this star that we hear about every Christmas, okay, was the very thing that put the baby Jesus in harm's way. Why the star? Well, interestingly, in the narrative, it's because God wanted the location of Jesus' birth disclosed. It was imperative that the location, the city in which he was born, was disclosed. It was vital. I would say this. It was vital to your salvation and to mine that Herod knew where to hunt for Jesus to try to kill him. Why is that the case? Interesting question. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, give us the answer. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, give us the answer. So, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, God had prophesied, okay, that a star would rise from Jacob, that would mark his birth. That's what led the wise men to Jerusalem, and then in dialogue with Herod, they knew where to go. Herod knew where to go. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Okay, so I ask you, why go through all this? What was the point? Why not just avoid the prophecy concerning the star? Why not avoid it altogether? No star, no magi, no Herod, no hunting, no threat to Jesus' life. If you're going to send an angel to let him know to flee, what's the point? What would you say? Here's the deal. From the very beginning of the incarnation of Jesus' life, it was absolutely vital, it was imperative, it was necessary that Jesus repeat, the fancy word is recapitulate, that he repeat, that he recapitulate, that he personally experience all of the sufferings, all of the difficulty, all of the history of Israel in his own life. If he was going to represent you and me and all his people, he had to experience everything that the people of God had to experience. Look at this. This is fascinating. Again, parenthetical comment. If you ever doubted the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you ever doubted, if you doubt currently whether or not it is true, how can you possibly explain these prophecies? There's absolutely no way to explain them apart from the fact that they're true. I'm going to read a prophecy, okay, Matthew includes a prophecy from Hosea chapter 11, okay? Look with me again, chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. It's just stunning. It's mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling to me all of the things that had to converge in the birth of Jesus Christ. All of the threads that God was weaving together in this amazing tapestry. It's just inconceivable to me. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And so why go through all this? Matthew tells you, this whole thing, all of this, was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, okay, the prophet Hosea, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Let's see if we can put that together. So that quote from Hosea, see if you can do the math with me. That quote in Hosea is an allusion back to Exodus, okay? So why did God send the star? Why did God send the Magi? Why did the Magi tell Herod? Why did Herod hunt for Jesus? It all goes back to Exodus. This quote from Exodus, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Think back to the very beginning. Again, I'm going to land the plane soon. Just think with me just for a minute. Go back to Exodus. What happened, okay, to Abraham? Do you remember the life of Abraham? There was a difficulty, okay, a famine that led Abraham where? Down to Egypt. There was difficulty, there was hardship that led Abraham down to Egypt, okay? Fast forward a number of years. How did the Israelites, what was the mechanism that put the people of God, okay, under Pharaoh's rule? What was it? Do you remember? It was a famine. There was a famine in the land, okay? And the family of Joseph, due to difficulty and hardship and suffering, ultimately went down to Egypt. Where what? Where what happened? What happened to the people of God while they were in Egypt? This is all going to come together. They flourished, right? Did they thrive? Did they become numerous? So much so, they thrived so much They did so well, they populated to the degree that who got worried? Pharaoh. What was Pharaoh's solution? What was Pharaoh's solution to deal with the problem? Do you remember? Kill the babies. What was the issue that led Jesus to Egypt? Herod trying to kill the babies. You think of the wisdom and the power Yahweh God Almighty sovereignly weaving all of these threads together that led to the advent of Jesus. And not only the advent of Jesus, okay, but almost from the moment of his birth, he was born in what? A stable. He was born in humiliating circumstances. His life was in danger. And because of persecution and difficulty, his family had to take him to Egypt, okay, so that he could experience and personally go through all the things that the people of God had to go through. And like in the Old Testament, what did God do to his people? Out of Egypt in the Old Testament, God called his son Israel and took them to the promised land. Out of Egypt, he called his son Jesus, the new Israel. So you think about that this Christmas. What was the point of the incarnation? The point of the incarnation is so that Jesus could experience everything that you and I have experienced. The incarnation happened so that Jesus could suffer everything that you and I suffer. Jesus had to become the new Moses, the new Israel, the new Adam for you and for me. I'll end with this. It's the quote that I read you last night about the difference between Adam and Jesus. Spurgeon wrote, "Our Lord Jesus Christ is, in some senses, more completely man than Adam ever was." Please listen to this quote. It's life-changing. "Our Lord Jesus Christ is, in some senses, more completely man than Adam ever was." Why? Adam wasn't born. Adam was created as a full-grown man. Adam could never sympathize with me as a babe and a child because Adam was created full-grown at once. But how man-like is Jesus? That's the point. He does not begin with us in midlife as Adam did, but Jesus was cradled with us. He accompanies us in the pains and the feebleness and infirmities of infancy, and he continues with us all the way to the grave. It started from the moment of his incarnation all the way to his death and resurrection. That is what we celebrate this Christmas morning. Pray with me. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you and praise you for this amazing tapestry of redemption that you have woven throughout your word. Father, it is amazing when we think about the reasons that you did the things that you did. Father, it is amazing the prophecy about the star that led to the Magi, that sent them to Jerusalem, that connected them with Herod so that he would hunt for the Lord Jesus, also that Jesus Christ could go to Egypt and begin to identify with us. We thank you that we have a Savior who can sympathize with us, who knows our pain and knows our sorrow because he has experienced every one of them. Father, we look forward to that great day when we will see him face to face and bask in the light of his countenance. Father in heaven, this morning, we thank you for Advent. We thank you for the incarnation of the Lord Jesus, and we look forward to when he comes again In his matchless name we pray. Amen.